And we welcome you back to McGinnis on Tap. Right now, I am joined by Hal Sutton, who, for some unknown reason, is actually in New York tonight. Hal, how are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
I'm good. What takes you to the big city?
Well, I've got a new hip, a new Striker hip, and I'm up here doing some work for them and just happened to be in the Sirius studio here to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you went with the Striker hip. My brother works for them.
I know that, as a matter of fact, down in North Carolina.
Indeed. Now, you have still been able to play. How long were you out for from the hip surgery, and how do you feel about the way your game is right now?
Well, I tell you what, John, my hip was killing me when I came back. I quit for 5 years, and it was killing me, and I put up with it for 3 years, and finally had it totally replaced in October of this last year. I was walking in 3 days without a cane and hit balls a month later, and my hip is completely fine. My brain was fried from dealing with a bad hip for 3 years. So I'm overcoming the little goblins that are in my head from it.
And that certainly makes sense. And you're trying to play against guys who many of them don't have any aches and pains out there on the Champions Tour. You played last week in Alabama. How do you feel about your game?
It's getting better. Like I said, I'm overcoming the goblins that set in with all the bad habits. But, you know, I feel healthy now, and that's a big plus for me. I was miserable for a long time. When you've got aches and pains, depression sets in and everything else. You feel like you're going to have to live the rest of your life that way. And fortunately for Striker, I don't have to live the rest of my life that way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Did you miss the game when you were out of it?
In the beginning, I was so worn out, I really didn't miss it. After I was away from it as long as I was, I did miss it. I tell you what I miss, John. I miss my friendships. You know, I played the tour for 25 or 30 years, you know, and your friends are who you spend your time with, which were the other players. So I was ready to get back out there just for the camaraderie of it, too.
And in that respect, it's been, I'm sure, an awful lot of fun. They seem to have a little more fun on the Champions Tour than we did out on the PGA Tour, Hal.
Absolutely. You know, we didn't share secrets or anything else because we didn't know whether it was going to beat us or not if we did share secrets when we were on the regular tour, John. You remember that. And, you know, I think everybody that's out there playing the Champions Tour realizes that we're pulling for everybody else, you know. And, I mean, I look up and see friends winning and I'm happy for them, you know, instead of worrying about what I'm doing. And it's a nice spot in life to be, you know.
Yes, I completely agree with that. I want to talk to you since I have you, and it is U.S. Open week. You played here at Marion, I believe, back in 1981. You were the reigning U.S. amateur champion, weren't you?
I was. I had an illustrious pairing of Jack Nicklaus and Hale Irwin that week. Jack Nicklaus was the reigning U.S. Open champion or defending U.S. Open champion, and you know, I had been the U.S. amateur champion, so I got that pairing and made a triple on the first hole. I remember that.
Had you met Mr. Nicklaus or Hale before that?
I had never met either one of them before that, and I can tell you truthfully that I'm not sure I even remember the guy calling my name on the first tee when it was time to hit. I was so nervous. And, you know, I was actually 7 over after the first 8 holes, and I walked over to Jack Nicklaus at the time, and I said, has anybody ever told you you're awfully intimidating? And he said, I have been told that before. He said, but let me tell you something. The world wants to see you play good, and so do I. So he said, just relax and play good. And I ended up playing 2 under from there in. I missed the cut by 1 shot, and Jack led the tournament after the first 2 rounds. So it was a great experience for me, and Jack and I formed a friendship that we've had ever since, basically, because of that.
You know, that is a great story. What do you remember about Marion, or do you remember anything? I mean, I played the amateur here in 89, and it was all new to me again when I came back this week. I hadn't been here in a long time. Have you been back to Marion much since
then? I have never been back to Marion since. I just remember it being short, and I remember the 18th hole was a difficult hole. I remember that. And I remember the first hole, obviously, because I made a triple. It wasn't even a hard hole, to be honest with you, but I did. I made a hard hole out of it.
And you can do that. That's actually a great segue, Hal, because you can do that on any hole at a U.S. Open. I don't care what the venue is. Every hole can jump up and get you.
Well, it can. I mean, I think that's what makes U.S. Opens what they are. You know, I mean, they go to golf courses that the wrong shot at the wrong time can create havoc in your golf game. And so you got to be on top of your game when you go to a U.S. Open.
But you played well in a few U.S. Opens, and I can understand why. You're such a great driver of the golf ball and such a quality, a pure ball striker with your irons. Was there one in particular that you look back on and say, you know what, I should have won that U.S. Open?
Well, the two best U.S. Opens I had was at Oakmont in 83, and I had a chance to win there. And then in 85 at Shinnecock, I had a chance to win there too. And, I didn't get either one of them done. Ended up finishing fourth or fifth. I had to lead on like 13 or 14 at Shinnecock the year Raymond won it. And Norman and I were in the last group. And just circumstances. I tell you what, you're splitting hairs when you're playing in the open like that. You know, and whether you win or lose is the difference of not much. And especially when you're right there at the top. So as a fan sitting out there listening to this, you know, maybe they can appreciate more the people that are splitting those hairs.
Well, I've been saying to people that your margin for error is less than half of what it is on a normal week in professional golf. If you have 20 feet to hit it in a normal week, you may have 5 or 10 feet to hit it in a U.S. Open.
I think that's probably right. I think that goes for most majors. I think that's why they call them a major. That's why they try to set themselves apart like that. You know, there is less room for error, and I mean every player knows that going into it, and they've either tightened up their game or tightened up their thinking because their game is not tightened up. You know,
we're talking to Hal Sutton. Hal, about 6 years ago, you were honored with the Payne Stewart Award, and I've never asked you about it. What did it mean to you to have the PGA Tour recognize you for all that you've done outside of the game of golf and the way you've conducted yourself inside the game of golf with that award?
Well, John, that was probably the most meaningful thing that I've ever had happen to me. You know, I think we spend the majority of our life pursuing our own personal dreams and selfishly walk that line every day, basically, of trying to carve our niche in history. And one day you wake up and you think, wait a minute, what am I doing for everybody else in the world? And you know, that's what the Payne Stewart Award is about. And, you know, Payne was a great friend of mine. I mean, he and I lockered together for 25 years. And I don't have to tell you that, you know, the day his plane went down, my locker mate next to me went away. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happened through the years that sitting in front of a locker, every golf fan out there can realize this. You know, you sit in front of your locker with your friend and talked about things that nobody ever knows, you know. And Payne and I had many personal conversations that went away. So having won that award with his name on it is special to me.
Yeah, and absolutely, absolutely should be. Of course, we're talking to Hal Sutton. What's your schedule look like? Where can golf fans find you coming up?
Next week we're going to be playing in Chicago, and the week after that we're going to be playing in Pittsburgh. I'm looking forward to this summer. My hip is really feeling great. We're starting this campaign called ilovemyhip.com, and people have asked me about it on the side of my hat, and I do love my new hip. You know, it's given me new hope. It's given me a reason to try hard again, and I think that's what, as human beings, we all want is a new lease on life.
Well, and certainly you are young enough to still go out there and compete against those guys.
Thank you for calling me young at 55.
Well, I'll be 45. You're 10 years older than I am, Hal, and I think I'm actually older than you.
We won't go there.
I appreciate you not going there. But, you know, you haven't run those boys down out there yet.
No.
You've come close. What's it going to mean to you to get back in the winner's circle?
Well, I tell you what, John, I should have never quit for 5 years. You know, Hogan said if he didn't practice for one day, he had to practice for 3 days to get his game back to where it was the previous 24 hours. And, you know, when you quit for 5 years, I played 20 rounds of golf in 5 years. And you come back out and you're trying to play at a world-class level. All the guys you played against, they didn't quit. They kept playing. And So the biggest challenge ever is in front of Hal Sutton. And I can tell you right now, I don't want to go out of the game the way I'm playing right now. And I've probably got more desire to be good right now than I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I don't know why, but I really have. And I think I just want to prove myself one more time to me. I don't have anything to prove to anybody else. I just want to prove myself to me, you know.
Is Freddie still out there with you?
Freddie is works for me at home. His wife has had some difficulty in her life, and he's hanging out there with her. But anyway, we're still longtime friends. He worked for me for 35 years, and still one of the best friends I've ever had in my life.
A good man. Please tell him that I said hello, and I'm sure that the girls are doing well too.
Yeah, family's doing good.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, we'll be pulling for you. I hope that I run into you sometime soon, Hal.
Okay, John. You take care.
Thank you for the time. That's Hal Sutton.